The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy and Pete, and Steve is absent. I don't know where he is. All right, lads. Anyway, how are you, lads? All right. How's the week been?
It's been all right, actually.
It's flown by this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Do you know what? The reason why it's Saturday morning, and Steve's not here, because he's a party animal on Friday night. Mm. You know, he does his own quarantine disco in his living room. He's got the decks, he's got the camera, he's got the effects, everything. The decks and the effects in full effect. Steve lives this odd life. He does that kind of party sort of scene thing Friday. Mm. Then you look at his Facebook stream, and this week he's been promoting largely this ringer roast. Have you seen that?
No, what's that?
It's like you call around for these meals, and they bring meals. It's like, Meals on Wheels. Oh, get me Meals on Wheels on Thursday. They come round. Lovely man, Derek delivers them. And it's like, right. Steve's like an OEP, isn't he?
Just when you say he's promoting it, he's as a customer, he's not doing this.
Yeah, he knows he's lovely.
Yeah, his cooking is not quite up to scratch.
No, it's called Ringer Roast. It's not his business. He just calls up a company that delivers meals to him.
Really?
He's like an old man. Yeah, he's like, I recommend Steve sitting in ready for it. Oh, my meal's coming today. Lovely. I just thought, Steve, that's like an OEP thing, isn't it? Surely? You can still go to supermarkets and buy your food. Steve is taking the quarantine a bit seriously here. Now, puts them at the doorstep. He takes several steps backwards, and I pick them up. So, thank you very much.
Is this not just like Deliveroo?
Maybe that's it. Maybe,
I know you guys live in the sticks, but like this happens quite regularly in London.
No, but but Deliveroo is from known brands. It's like ring a roast, and then they cook it for you. And I suppose. Is it like the modern day, you know, Meals on Wheels, isn't it? Is that still around? Meals on Wheels. That's for old people, though, Meals on Wheels, isn't it?
It's still around, and that's slightly different. Yeah, that's.
Hang on, Meals on Wheels was the original Deliveroo. Let's be honest, Deliveroo's come along with a fancy logo, young kids on bikes running around with.
Yeah,
it was Meals on Wheels.
Ahead of their time.
That's what we do. Yeah. Well,
the customer doesn't like order what they want; they just get given what they.
It's usually meatballs, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's what. But do you know what? An old idea. It's always nothing's new anymore. It's just repackaged, isn't it? I mean, look at Opportunity Knox. That's essentially Britain's Got Talent, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see Matt? What do you think of Matt Hancock's target, guys? He got it, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you can get target if you make
it. Right on the last day, like nowhere near it for the entire month, pretty much. Right on the last day, then he stood up there. Yes, we did it. 122,000. Turns out, though. 74,000 people actually tested, and the rest, I don't know, they sent them out in the post. I saw some guy tweet on Twitter saying, I've achieved my target of having 100,000 girlfriends. I've sent them invitations to meet my girlfriends in the post. So I don't know where the others are gone. So 74,000 people tested, but the others are just in the post somewhere, or but they said, yes, we did it, last day, very last day of April. Do you know what? I'm obviously. I didn't vote. Listen, I'm not pro Tory. I think I'm pro Tory because they're more business oriented. Paddy politics is kicking off there. But I'm not Labour because Jeremy Corbyn was a shambles and Diane Abbott and all that shambles. And I thought the worst of two parties was probably the Labour, so I went with Tory. But even when I see things like that, the spin that right on the last day, there are people convinced by that. I think, come on, guys. That is a heck of a coincidence, isn't it?
In the same press conference, he announced that they hadn't met their own figures, that they hadn't met their target. They released the details. It wasn't hard to pick a hole in this, was it?
I know. And people are saying, well done. Everyone's saying, well done. And I think, I'd love Matt to come out just smiling, saying, didn't think I'd do it, did you? Hey? I was like, you didn't, Matt. No, but listen.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, well now, just to prove it wasn't a one-off, I'm going to set a new target. By the end of this month, I'm going to be testing 1 million people a holiday. I just love him to up the ante. Come on. And the people around me going, no, Matt, don't do that. We couldn't do 100,000. You know, we have government vans just going out and mugging people and testing them. Get out, you're tested. Right.
Yeah, and then he goes, it's easy. All we do, we take that PowerPoint presentation again and we just add a naught to it when we say the result. And so, that's the million. Yeah, we've done it.
We'll ramp it up. They've ramped up this phrase, ramp up. They've ramped it up. I don't know what they've ramped it up for. It's quite a shallow ramp, isn't it? It's like a ramp. It's supposed to go in an incline.
Well, a very big spike on the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a ramp. Like
50, 60,000, 100,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're actually riding a bike over that ramp, right, you'd probably just smack yourself in the wall at the end because it's not a ramp, it's a wall. But it's pretty much goes straight up. But
he's had a pretty. He's been one of the few politicians over the last few months who actually seems to be vaguely human. And there's,
something robotic about him, though. There's something a bit,
in comparison to some of the other numbskulls, he's actually done all right. So I'm a little bit let down by him falling for this and going along with it. It just seems like a completely unnecessary step. Like 76,000, still quite a lot. Yeah. How about we just actually get above 100,000 over the next week or so and do it properly?
Yeah. The thing with Hancock
is that on those briefings and when he's grilled, by journalists, hard hitting journalists on camera and stuff, he's not very good. But I heard him on the Chris Evans radio show and he was far more relaxed. The questioning's a bit softer as well. But he actually comes across as a really, he's an intelligent guy and well thought. And he actually, I agree, he's actually one of the more human. And he's not.
I think he's been odd.
He's not one of the Cummings robots until he's in front of the cameras and he's trying to toe the party line and do all the things that he's probably being told to say.
Yeah, he's probably just been shouted at by Cummings, though, isn't he? So I mean, it's
I
think that's the difference.
Do you know, this week though, I've felt a bit more positive towards as this coronavirus because I think lots of things have come out. I'm a big fan of it. Yeah, big fan of the COVID-19. COVID-19. No, but there's been some breakthroughs, I think, and I think they're quite significant. And first and foremost, did you see that little news documentary on South Korea? That was phenomenal. Yeah. Just in the park, like I'd never have been there. The only evidence you saw that, something had happened there was one kid and a mask on, but that's not unusual in that kind of culture. You know, I mean, in Japan, they wear masks anyway if they're cold. But I mean, and I thought they're back to normal. They're not social distancing even. Just in the park, doing normal stuff. It was a lovely day. That's unbelievable. Because and that comes down to testing, so we shouldn't knock the test down. I'm just saying, maybe you set in arbitrary figures.
Well, it comes down to tracing, doesn't it? That's what they've got.
Testing and tracing, yes, yeah. But we need to do more. Surely, what we do is look at a country now that's. And I think we are doing this very slowly, by the way. So look at a country who's done it properly. Like first of all, Germany's tested well, and South Korea's doing well. Guys, let's copy them, right? Full stop. Whatever they're doing, get a team to go over there. You're not allowed to fly probably at the moment. Or no, you can fly into the country, not out of the country. But I mean, so go over there or pick the phone, go on Zoom. What are you doing? Can we copy you? How do we do this? We need to do that. Just exactly. And then I think it's not going to be, I don't think we'll have a second wave now. Because first of all, the whole thing is, right, about protecting the NHS. That's all it's about. Because like I said, it doesn't kill lots of people. It kills people with health conditions, pretty much, or vulnerable in some way, old. So you get a lot of that happening in one go. It paralyzes the NHS. Then other people who need surgery or anything of this or critical, sort of care can't receive it. So what you need to do is keep that flatten that curve, like I said. And we've pretty much now, while we've been doing this, we've done that. The capacity is there. We've got ventilators. We've got beds. We've got everything now. So we can pretty much go back to normal as long as we sort of social distance and, wash your hands. Again, we have to go back to how does this spread, It spreads in two ways. One, you breathe droplets in. Two, you touch something infected and you put your mouth, hands. So wash your hands, stay away from people. And it's okay. Until we get some kind of vaccine, we have to do that. But we can still work, I think, and go back to work. And especially now, have you seen Remdesivir, this drug from Gilead Sciences?
It's proven
to do very well, reduces time in the hospital from 15 days to 11 days, even less than that, they say at some points. So that will reduce pressure on the hospital. So even if we do a second wave, I think we're more prepared for it, So I think, but again, it's odd. You've got the stock market having a V-shaped recovery, which is falling off a bit now. It's rolling over. But the real economy is not going to have a U-shaped recovery, It'll be a U-shaped because you get these businesses going back to work slowly. So we'll have the lockdown. Well, the lockdown is that we're going to have a plan, aren't we? Next week came out from Boris, apparently, saying we'd have a phased lifting. Is it next week, I think, the start in the plan?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So
depends how you write your V's and your U's, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Some people's U's really flat at the bottom, and other people's U's are a little bit more curved.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. Sometimes I hope it's not an L-shaped. Well, they don't want to do that. Well, the banks are pumping in lots of money. They don't want to be an L-shaped, basically drop down and don't recover L-shaped. For years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's and then come back.
That doesn't sound ideal.
No, I think we'd have some more of a Nike tick, like I said, you know, because essentially if companies can go back to work, they won't be operating at full capacity. Even the builders this week, you know, and I own now Barrett Development, they said they're going back to work, I think it was 11th or something of May, but even then, they're not fully operational. You know, they're just completing houses that are near completion to get them sold and get them out of the door, get the money in. They're not starting a build full on with, so how can we go back to, it's not going to be a snap back, all these people saying it's a snap back, it won't. People like, you know, again, EasyJet, they're not going to be profitable for ages, you know. Yeah. I mean, they can't even fly probably. There's restaurants.
Yeah, pulling out of Gatwick kind of permanently.
Yeah.
It's a fairly big indicator of how they're seeing the future.
Well,
and,
I don't know.
And obviously the 12,000 layoff as well.
Yeah, well, I've seen reports this week about restaurant owners saying we can't exist if we had a social distance. So I don't know what we're going to do, because we can't, you know, we need that amount of tables we got in that restaurant. We need, you know, 60, 70% of those full all the time. If we take out a third of those, that we're operating on less than 50% capacity. We can't do that. And we can't...
unless you're up to prices, but yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I think we need now... Well, they need for the lockdown, lifting lockdown. They need a new phrase. It's not stay at home, is it? Stay at home, you know, what's the word? Stay at home, save life, protect the NHS. Is that what it is? How is it?
Is it in that order?
Stay at home.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What they need now, they want to change the stay at home bit. I don't know what they want to do with that. So, stay distant. I don't know. Wash your hands. As I said, stay distant, wash your hands, protect the NHS. That's still there. But I think we need a new logo, don't we? They'll probably get Dominic Cummings on that or something like that. Don't be sociable. Don't be filthy.
Okay.
Don't be filthy. Protect the NHS, you know. So that's good news.
All great ideas.
Another positive this week is Fatboy Kim is not dead, is he?
Is he not? Yeah, is that
apparently
been
not.
I had breaking news last night on my phone saying from Sky News.
Him out.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. I thought he's looking well. He hasn't lost any weight anyway. He's he's definitely been, he's not been off his food. whatever illness he had, he's the fattest bloke in North Korea still. So I don't know if that's what qualifies you for the leader. And talking about that, I bet they haven't got Greggs over there. See Greggs this week, right?
Yes.
The share price dropped. Now we're talking about this by buying into this, right? And the share price dropped because it wasn't good for the share price, of course, but I think it was very good marketing spin. I didn't think about it really until afterwards. But they announced they're going to open 20 sort of shops in Newcastle area, because up the Geordies love their sausage rolls. And they're going to open 20 up there. And they said then this week, no, we're not going to do that because there's so much demand for our sausage rolls. It's going to cause crowds. No, come on.
But it would though, wouldn't it? That's easy to see.
But you know what? I said to Megan, I said, oh, Greggs are opening 20, opening some shops. And really? Really? And she got really excited. She's never really a huge Greggs fan anyway. And I thought, really? And due to crowd control and social distancing measures, we can't open. So they're doing an internal test now. So, but I was very good. But the ship
was genius. It was genius PR and advertising, because it's like headline news on the BBC about Greggs.
Yeah.
And it's like if you hadn't even thought about Greggs, you then suddenly, like Megan there, suddenly start thinking, oh yeah, I haven't had a sausage roll in a long time.
I know, and that picture of a sausage roll, just two of them like that. They're warm and they're crispy, and you know, I think, oh, I wouldn't mind one of those, yeah. And it was very clever, I thought, but if the share price dropped 6%, I don't know how clever it was. So that's temporary.
That allowed me to get in, so...
Did you get in?
I did, yeah, I bought some this week.
That's good. Listen, this weekend, right, on my video, I'm going to be releasing my investment thesis.
Right. This week's class.
It's the most comprehensive.
How long is this one going to last?
Exactly.
What, 3 minutes?
No, it's
fine. Oh, that's
probably accurate,
isn't it? 33 minutes. Investment thesis. And essentially, I've been knocking this around for ages, but I want something that's simple to understand, right? And it comes in threes. If you're stuck, think of three. That's all you need to do. And
right.
So let me just open up my thing there. And I think in. Three, where's that come from? Three is a magic number. Where's that come from? I know what's in De La Soul. Anyways, my strategy is 3.0, because I've done two before, previous strategies, but this is about 3.0.
Okay.
This is, and it's funny how that's coincided with this. So essentially, what to buy. I've got three filters for stocks with three different risk profiles. So I've sent you that spreadsheet already, but I've changed it a little bit, right? So in each section, right, there's pre-revenue stocks, three of those you need, okay? Then there's three growing profitable companies. They're a bit bigger market cap, of course, about, you know, 100 million up to, say, 500 million. Well, no, 100 million to 300 million, actually. Wow, I didn't realize that. They are 300 million was the maximum. Anyway, so there's those. There's three in the pre-revenue, three in the growth profitables, and three big caps, right? So all you need in your portfolio are nine stocks and one fund. It doesn't fit the three concept, but it diversifies your portfolio and the cash, obviously. So what to buy? It was one. This investment strategy. What to buy, right? That's the three filters. How to buy it, three tranches scaling in. I got a spreadsheet for that as well. You just type in your portfolio amount value at the top. It'll split it into three, you know, into 3% tranches, and show you at what levels with 10% drops you have to buy into, scale into. And then when to buy. And I use this using the RSI. And I realize you can even use the magic number 3 in the RSI. So look at it's called the relative strength index on a chart, right? So under 30 is regarded as oversold. And if you look at on any chart, Chris, I'll show this on the it's a discipline to do it though. I'll show this on the video. Stocks prices only really get going. You can pick a bargain stock, but you keep going down unless there's no momentum there for a long time. So you don't want your cash sitting there whittling away, you know, getting weak and the share price going down. You want it to just, you know, buy it just before it starts to take off, it starts to move. Now, if you look at the RSI, if it goes below 30, it can keep going down. It's oversold, yeah, but it can be oversold for a long time. Like, say, you know, the markets can say stay illogical for longer than you can stay liquid, I think is the phrase. But so don't buy when it goes down to oversold. That one section there, I split the RSI into three sections. The below 30 is one section. Don't buy there, because it's oversold and keep going lower and lower. Don't buy above 60, because then it's probably starting to spike and the share price has gone up. Where you need to buy is in the zone between 30 and 60, but with a share price, with the RSI, sorry, is going up, you know, in an upward trajectory towards the 60. So that's the buy zone right there. So it's going to be going up. At the moment, Greg's is going down below 50. I wouldn't worry too much there, though, because Greg's not this penny stock, so it won't be too volatile. But you want to wait until it sort of comes around a bit, you know, and then starts to go back up. Then you buy then, and you're in the right thing. So what to buy, how to
RSI, so the second tranche and the third tranche of your purchasing, you would do based purely on RSI rather than how much it's gone, the actual drop in the share price.
Yeah, purely on RSI, because that's strength. Yeah, so that's momentum. That's all you need to know. I mean, if the price
might have gone up above your first tranche, starts to come down a bit, but not as far back down as your first tranche, but then the RSI and the RSI drops, then you would buy regardless of where that share price is.
So yes, it's just share price. Yes, so regardless of what it is, because if you look at the charts, I'll show you on the charts. Anyway, it always makes sense. If you'd bought always, let's add Steve. Steve's just saying yes.
Oh, Steve's waking up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 minutes late.
Yeah. So essentially, I'll try and keep it simple as possible. But I've realised all you need is that. So essentially,
I think long term sufferers, I mean listeners.
Hang on, I'll get that. And every stock I'm looking at, I'm thinking about three year time frame. And I mean, essentially, you could say to Greg's now, do you think Greg's will be higher now in 3 years' time than it is now? There's a good chance it is. High probability. It's all about probabilities, really, isn't it? It's a good chance it will be. Will Greg's be higher? And so I look at it like that. But what I'm saying is, you can buy stocks at the wrong time. You know, good stocks at the wrong time. And you can sit there and the share price will go down and down and down. What you need to do is buy into strength, you know? It's like, you know, you sit there, using the analogy of a surfer, sit there on your surfboard, waiting for a wave and wave and wave, when all you need to do really is check the tidal information and realise the tide's gone out. You're not going to catch any waves today. Come back tomorrow when the waves are there. You know, so.
Well, no, that's not quite accurate, because that's not how it works. Because it depends on a number of different conditions.
Okay. Well, you know, I was trying to keep it simple, you know. But
That analogy doesn't work in surfing.
Well, give us one then. Give us one, surfer boy.
I can't think of one related to surfing that's...
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's like waiting for, you know, waiting for the right wave, not waiting for a flat wave or whatever, not wasting your time sitting there when you know there's no wave going on.
Well, that's constantly surfing, because you sat there out the back and then you're actually waiting for a good set to come in, right? And so you're saying is don't catch one that will just crumble into nothing and not get to the beach, whereas wait for the bigger set and that carries you all the way to the beach.
I'm thinking we've gone off the thing. Maybe that's it. Make sure you pick the right wave.
Can I make an observation, though? Like I say, long-term listeners will kind of go, well, that's kind of what you were doing before, isn't it?
No. I've refined it. That's why it's 3.1. Well, in fact, it should be in 2.1. But 3.0 is now... My last portfolio, my one, I had about 5 stocks in each section. Now, I realise, if you have too many stocks, you're never going to transform your portfolio value. Before, I took a lot more bigger risks. A couple of years ago, I just whack a load into one stock and I hope it does well. But now I realise 9 stocks is all you pretty much need. And a fund.
The only thing I would say, and I get it, and it, the structure.
You say the only thing you would say, but you say the only thing I would say, but you've said 3 things now.
No, well, this is the only thing I was going to say on this point. is that's all very well if you're starting with a blank canvas and it's like structured like that. But obviously, portfolio values move up and down all the time. And so your percentages all kind of shift. And so
you'd be surprised. This is one of those volatile times at the moment. You'd be surprised how much it does. Now, what I'm saying is these are guides. So, for example, each stock should not take up more than 9% of your portfolio, right? And I say 9 because it's very easy to do the math. For example, like I said,
I've asked this before, but if something then starts to, rise nicely and it starts to occupy, say, 12% or 14% of your portfolio, you're saying, are you going to then sell down? That's the bit I don't quite understand on your approach.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine if it does that. It's fine if it does that.
Or just leave it.
Leave it, yeah. But if you see... it going down or there's news there and you're not up to, you think, right, I haven't got exposure to this, it's just managing your exposure better. You don't have to be strict and hard fast rule, but it's almost like a guide. It's a guide rather than the law,
so, I thought it was, I thought I was going to go to a prison if I didn't follow it.
Paddy, are you still there?
I am still here,
he's just listening.
You seem very distant there, in the background there. And is Steve joining in or what?
This involves maths, and I don't really understand maths, so I've got a massive headache thinking about all of this.
Steve Martin, join me and Pete. What is he talking about, join me and Pete?
He may still be drunk. Let's get him on. Come on, Steve.
I'm trying to, but where is he on the podcast?
He can just open up Skype and just click the join button.
Was he drinking what rum last night?
He seems to be drinking... rum out of a broken bottle.
In my spreadsheet that you made for me, I've currently got 5 stocks in the red zone, the pre-revenue bit.
Yeah,
I've now got 1 in the large, the orange zone, and then I've got the funds and the bit of cash as well.
So do you know what, honestly, I thought it was a bit too much, prescribed, too much detailed and disciplined. But the more you act with a bit of discipline here, right, the better you'll be. And even say, and it does work. Honestly, if you're just being lax about it and say, I'll have this many, it doesn't matter. But if you really stick to that, you don't need more than 9 stocks. Everyone says, what's the perfect portfolio side? Some have 20 stocks, some have 25, some have 50 stocks. You don't need anywhere near that. You cannot, as a private investor, it's very hard to keep track of more than, say, 10 stocks. And actually keep on top of the news, but it's sufficiently diversified not to worry, and also you haven't got too much exposure. 9% on any one company, is plenty, really. So,
but the bit that's stressing me out is the current exposure, because that's just constantly changing. So what am I supposed
to change that every day? Right, the most important thing is maximum exposure. That's maximum, so I'm not saying you should be spot on 9. But you should tranche, when you scale into these companies, if you're aiming for a 9% exposure maximum, so you should go in 3 tranches, 3% each time. I've got a spreadsheet.
Maybe I need to add another column to this. I need to pull in some RSS data and do some maths in the background so that it's updating live, no?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. But you don't have to be that disciplined about it. But you can be
I think
relaxed.
I need to, though.
But
it's
just a guide, and it will help you,
That needs to be accurate, otherwise this just stresses me out.
Yeah, so what happens then when...
Hello? Who's that? It's like someone Zoom bombed you. Zoom when someone just joined. Yeah. Paddy, do you remember? That reminded me. Pad, in Capital, do you remember years ago when we were doing Welshy Calling and we had this idea, we had to keep coming up with ideas every day, didn't we, for Welshy Calling, so it would get exhaustive after a while because it would be so
just
funny. So. Yeah. And that was me, Welshy Calling, yeah. But me, Pad and Gareth, and I'd sit down thinking. And at one time, we had an idea of joining in conference calls in Capital, remember?
Yeah, we thought it would be great, didn't we? It never really worked.
No, there was like the sales conference. in because Capital, the building, had six floors of people on it, all different stations, like Classic FM and all this. And so we just decided, you know, one of the sales girls would get us a conference call number, and the ID, you type in the four pin digit code, and I would just joining the call, Gary. You know, other people think, who's Gary? Never mind. Just keep the crack on, and then Gary would just pipe up with something completely irrelevant. Yeah, but can we get some new mugs in with red noses on and stuff? What, Gary? We're talking about sales. I know, but, you know, I'm so demotivated with those mugs. And then, who the hell is Gary? And we just did a load of those, and it didn't really work out. But it was quite funny, though, because people were saying, who are you? Who are you? Anyway, that's like, Steve, just come in there and just question from nowhere. Steve, go on.
I think that's true, that whole feature, though, isn't it? Like, we found that a lot funnier than the listeners did.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised.
There was a couple
that were good, but most of them were just only funny for us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what you've done this week, but your quality of call has improved dramatically.
Yeah, I've switched over to my voiceover mic.
All right.
I haven't soundproofed, so I'm a little bit echoey, but
it's amazing.
Yeah. So, Steve, I'm going to give you.
So my question was, probably Pat, you might have asked it before I came in, but so you put in your three tranches, you go to 9%, that stock then rises and say goes to 20% of your portfolio. Yeah. What do? You sell it back down to 9%?
Well, generally, I always say if it doubles, sell off. I mean, but this is a guide of initial exposure, you know? What you want companies to do, of course, is rise. So, yeah, I mean, if it goes, like, for example, doubles, and you are then at 18%, that's nearly a fifth of your portfolio. So you want to bring it back down a bit then, yeah. But okay. There's some people who think some people would be comfortable having 20% of their portfolio, you know, in one stock. I wouldn't particularly. So I just say, you know, let's sell off that, get it back
let's
down.
Let's be honest, you've done that many a time, Jess.
I have, yeah. No, I mean, the worst exposure I've had, I think, was about 60% of my portfolio at one point.
Wow.
So Steve, I'm going to give you a couple of, because on the maths there, so listen now, take into account, 9%, right, is total exposure, right? Initial tranches, initial investment into any one company is 3%. And so you're going, you don't have to go in 3% in one go, but, you know, each time you're at 23%. So I'm going to give you a portfolio value, right? You will tell me, in fact, shut your names out, it's a bit of a quiz, right? Portfolio value. First of all, tell me, yeah, Steve, what's the answer? Steve?
9%.
That was someone else shouting Steve's name. Did you actually shout your name, Steve?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I thought someone was shouting your name to put you in it. Okay, all right, here we go. I'll give you a portfolio value, right? First of all, I want maximum exposure, right? And then I want initial chances. Just give me your first name when you're there. So let's say your portfolio value is 10 grand.
Oh, God.
Right. Total exposure?
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Wasn't Steve.
Pete.
Paddy. This is not working out. Steve, Pete, Paddy.
Is it £900?
£900, yes, is what?
The total exposure of a stock.
So what do I say, 10 grand?
Yes.
So, yeah, 10% is, yeah. Said, yeah. And how do you work that?
10% is 900.
Yeah. That's quite easy, isn't it? So initial tranche would be what?
The tranche would be £300.
Yeah, exactly. So you do 3 sets of 300. So in the end,
I got it wrong already.
Yeah,
this is not
really?
What I did with. This is not what I did with Greg's.
No, Matt.
Well, I've got a spreadsheet there for you for that. I said that. I'll send you a spreadsheet. You can sort that out. It's easy. No, I've got a spreadsheet. I'll do this on the video as well. On the weekend video, my 3.0 investment strategy. I'll do the video.
Oh, no, maybe I'm not that far off, actually.
Okay.
What you don't want to do, Pad, is when you're doing your dividing, you don't want to get the times and the divide mixed up with the 100 to get your percentage, because it doesn't work out right.
Because then you buy, Steve's like, bought 49 pence worth of shares once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you're buying shares, don't do number of shares.
Yeah, how did that work out?
Price,
So, for example, okay, let's try this then, right? So remember, 9% is total exposure. So you work it out, basically, divide by 10, isn't that? Is that what it is?
That'll get you 1%.
That'll get you 1%, yeah. And then, and
times 3, that gets you 3%.
Yeah, so it's 3%.
That's the thing of the actual exposure thing, because your portfolio is constantly moving.
It doesn't move that much, honestly. Right, listen, when you have who's clapping? That's very clever on the Skype. When you start off though, and you start realizing you're just it's a guide. It's like a guide, guys. It's a guide, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's not the law. I mean, what I'm saying is the most important thing is don't overexpose, and also have diversity. You know, not the dance group. It's pointless there. But have diversity. Like I say, I think 9 stops. You know, equally sort of. Sort of exposed, and a fund as well, and a bit of cash. So cash would be around 10%.
Then, really? No.
What?
Is there someone yawning now? That's good.
Steve,
come on to yawn.
No, I think that was Paddy. His mic quality is too good now. We can hear him yawning. Yeah.
I wasn't yawning. I was talking at the same time.
That was blinking. His mic is so good. That was blinking. Right. Okay. Yeah. No. I think it's good. I like it, and I kind of like this approach now of portfolio management because I've always been a bit lazy on this. So it's good to have a structure.
And it's quite simple. 9 stocks. You know, all you do. And what I like about it is this. Right. You try and get the best 3 because it comes down to this. There's plenty of opportunities out there. And I had this problem. Like I kept messing around. Like if you looked at my spreadsheet, the last video I did, I said this is the one I'm going to send out for you. It's 3 stocks in each section. But this is mine at the moment. And I had like 5 in each. And they've got 7 in 1, 7 in... And there's so many opportunities out there. That's not the point, though. You're never going to pick the actual best stock unless you're super lucky. You're never actually going to pick the one. There's plenty of opportunities out there, right? But it's what level you buy at and how you buy it. You can make money off pretty much any stock at the right level, you know? And that's what you have to do, is concentrate on the stocks you have and get the best out of them. And that's it. And when you start doing this, not jumping around, buying this, buying that. I did it with it. I whittled down now. And now I've got 3 big stocks. I've also got 3 growth stocks. But I've got 5 pre-revenue stocks. So I've got to cut that down to 2. And if you look through my filters, I know which ones I should cut. But part of me doesn't want to cut them. Because I've gone through those filters quite a few times. I realise they've got to have IP. They've got something that's very scalable. And one of them doesn't fit. So out of the 5 pre-revenue ones I have, one of them doesn't have that. Doesn't have IP pretty much. I don't know how scalable it is. The other 4 do, but again, I have to do some more thinking there, because all you need, you know, there's plenty of opportunity out there. But it's just not diluting those. You know, so I did this week. I did HSBC. At HSBC, I had Barrett Developments in the top one. I had Greggs, I had Auto Trader, right? And I thought, okay. And I look at the charts of all of them. It's like they're all double pretty much in the next 3 years from where they are. I thought, I have to cut one. And I thought, I didn't know which one. I thought, well, I could all do as well as each other. That may do better than this. And in the end, it came down to, what do I understand? I just cut HSBC because I thought, when I look at balance sheets, I'm half decent on balance sheets. So I can do, you know, maths on them. But I don't understand banks' balance sheets at all. They're very complex. And look, simple as that. When it comes down to it, you know, don't make it too complex. Keep it simple. If you understand what you understand. If you don't understand it, get rid of it, you know? So you just have to be ruthless, and it will pay off in the end, honestly. It's cutting the dead wood, pretty much. Don't over-dilute yourself, but don't over-concentrate either, because if you have too much in one stock then and it goes wrong, you're knackered, you know? So
And what's your thinking now of having less in funds? Because go back a few months, you're all into your funds and all about...
Yes, because we hadn't had really a structured portfolio like this, a management system. So I thought, right, the best thing to do, to play it safe, put your age into a fund, age value. Yeah. But now...
We've As got a percentage.
This, So I've got, you know, funds, pretty much... If you put your money in a bank, what do you get now? 1%, less than that, you know, less than that in a savings account. If you want to earn the market, you get a good low cost diversified fund. Over time, like I said, that fund there will earn you between 7 and 10% pretty much. That the one we got, the Life Strategy one. If you want to, you know, outperform that, you buy in the dips. They buy that fund in the dips. I'm only 3.5% down on my Life Strategy fund because I've been topping up, and I'm still only at 5% of my initial portfolio value. But if you want to outperform funds, you have to buy individual stocks. So it'd be nice if the fund in the background is 9% of your portfolio. Yes, and you are getting. Have you seen that fund, by the way? Like I said, Paddy said I'm only down 12% on this after all that's happened. I said, have you looked at the constituents of that fund? So basically, they invest in the biggest companies in the UK, the biggest companies in the US as well. So if you look in there, they've got Amazon, they've got Microsoft, they've got Google. So they've been doing very well, haven't they, at the moment? So the tech stocks in America have been flying. So that's why it's.
The other thing to say is that. about that is that the big firms' history shows that they actually up their spend during recessions in terms of marketing and advertising and all that stuff, because then they get a kind of multiplier effect off the back of it when you come out of recession, because a lot of smaller firms all crumble. Yeah. These big boys all ramp up their spend and dominate the market during recessions because they know that there'll be quids in and then some when on the other side of it. So, yeah, that strategy fund is obviously a very good one to actually start scaling into, I think.
So you've got that. So that's going to earn you, like, hopefully, you know, between 7 and 10%, right? But if you want more than that, you've got to do individual stocks. And so it'd be nice to get some income as well. That's why there's three big stocks you'd invest in and you get income from them. But also now, because they're lower than historical, you know, average or levels, they should do well. They should come out of the back of this doing very well. I mean, you know, I honestly think, like, you know, if you look at Auto Trader, you know, market leader, Barrett Developments, I think this is the largest house builder in the country, but also high quality. And the reason why I went for Barrett is that I've seen all the COVID updates recently, and I've read Persimmon, Taylor Wimpey, Barrett, and they're all pretty much like the charts are. But Barrett, I felt, were very detailed, and I thought the people in charge of this are hugely professional. And they've even now, their release on Friday, they've got an appointed social distancing marshal on each site. I love that. I think a guy in a clipboard, in a high-vis jacket with a tape measure, "Excuse me, lads, you're not 2 metres away, you are 1 minute 93.
That's quite an expensive operation. Like, how many of them are they going to have around the country?
Oh, it's not. It's the same as the guy, health and safety guy, isn't it, or something like that. But I mean, you're talking about billions here. No, but I like the fact that the level of detail they've gone into before they said they know they're not going to start rebuilding a new house from scratch at the moment. They're just going to finish off the ones that are near completion to get the money in the door and all this. So
I bought Barrett because based on I've not seen negative publicity about their build quality and everything, whereas Persimmon and others have had all sorts of shocking kind of reports in the last couple of years about their actual build quality, and I've heard firsthand of things that have been pretty poor on new builds.
Yeah.
Whereas Barrett, I think, as far as I'm aware, have a pretty good record in terms of the quality of what they do. So yeah, quite.
Have you bought into Barrett then?
I have. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you scaled in one of the three tranches? Is it first of the three?
Yeah, the first one was 9%. That's right, isn't it? And then the second one is 3%, and then the third is 12%. Is that right?
Yeah. No, listen. So and also in that little spreadsheet there, I encourage you to fill out the sector as well. You know, because that will show you.
Yes.
But you know, it'll give you in your mind a bit of diversity. You know, if you buy a lot of stocks just based on charts or whatever and things, and you may have sort of a house builder or a support service to a house builder, you know, you realize, hang on a sec, I'm overexposed to the house building here, or banks or financials. You know, so I mean, if you look at my three biggest stocks now, is Auto Trader, which is essentially IT. You know, it's like the right move of cars. There's the house builders, Barrett, of course, and then there's Greggs, which is, you know, food and so three different sectors pretty much. So I did consider that with HSB as well. Well, the financials, I haven't got financials, but they are playing the economy, and so is house building. So I thought, well, you know, let's go with
that.
Can Barrett.
I just go back on the fun thing? Because I've been caught out with, and maybe other people that are listening to this, because we talked about it a lot, was the IUKD fund, which is obviously dividend based. I've been caught out in that because I was still in that when the major sort of crash came, and I've kind of taken the view that I am better off taking that money out and trying to recover money in individual stocks rather than pursuing it with that. I don't know if that's the right strategy, but that's what I'm doing. But I don't know, what would you have done? Would you have kept in there and just hold on for the long haul?
I don't know. I genuinely think we're starting to see the rollover of the economy. Like I said, the financial fallout hasn't happened. Q2 is the bomb. Q1, well, we had 2 weeks of lockdown. You know, Q2 already, we've had 4 weeks of lockdown. We're going to have probably another 2 weeks. So half of Q2 will be in lockdown compared to just 2 weeks. So 6 weeks pretty much will be at least in lockdown compared to 2 weeks. And so I think until you see where the land lays.
Where are you living? We've had 6 or 7 weeks of.
Oh, is it? Since
we've
March.
We've had 6 weeks of lockdown.
We've had already. So already we've had a half a quarter of lockdown. Whereas in the first quarter, we had 2 weeks of it. You know, so literally a sixth of it. So. Yeah, so I think wait for a while, but because maybe
sorry, with you. Yes, we've only had 4 this quarter. Yes, right.
Yeah,
carry on.
4 this quarter. But if I were you, like I said, again with funds, right? If you look at 9% total exposure, they don't move around a lot. They don't move around a lot, so you can pretty much say, but 1% of your, exposure into that, or even 2% per year, you know, and try and scale in over. In fact, if you're going to go over 3 years, 3% per year into a fund, scaling over 3 years. And that's perfect, because then you pretty much know this recession, looking at average recessions, will not last for 3 years. So you'll be buying the dip and buying coming out of the dip, then you stop after 3 years, and that's it. You get total exposure in its rise. So that's I like that, actually, 3-year exposure. Intend to expose yourself to 9% of your fund over 3 years, because that will take you past all the big dips. If you're scaling on a regular basis, it'll take you past all the dips. You'll buy the dip automatically, you know?
And then you take away the number you first thought of, and you're left with... Yeah. No, it's good. I'm following that, I think. I think my question was more about, from where we are now, I'm kind of looking at the funds and going, I have taken the money out of that, and I'll start investing in individual stocks to try and recover some of the money that's come... Because that fund probably won't recover to the levels it was at three months ago. But I don't know, who knows?
Yeah, sometimes it can rebound quickly. I mean, sometimes it's almost worth waiting for that bounce, because sometimes you can get a really... Like, we've seen it, a bounce. But who knows? That's a judgment call.
Is your feeling, though, that it's still... We are going to go lower than the low we had 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was now?
Yeah. Because, I don't know if it's going to lower, because a lot of the Fed... Have you seen... I've been downloading now on a weekly basis the Fed's asset balance sheet. And... They really started pumping in when just before the week before it hit the all-time low, the indices, everything was selling off. They were pumping in like 500 billion per week. Yeah. And that went down to 200. Now, last week they're down to 82 billion. It's not a lot, 82 billion, is it? But it's like, but it's coming down. And it's funny how now, all of a sudden, the markets last couple of days are starting to roll over. Now the Fed isn't pumping so much, you know? So,
When you say 84 billion is not a lot, well, it's not, because Elon Musk, one tweet is worth 14 billion.
I know, that was nuts, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tesla's overvalued. It's Gerald Ratner, isn't it? Where he says, it's crap, essentially. Yeah. So on 25th of March, the Fed pumped in 356 billion, right, the week before, 18th of March. Next week, 586 billion. Next week, 557 billion. That's the 1st of April. 8th of April, week ending. 271, then 284, 205, last week 82. So it's coming down. And if they're not going to keep pumping like that, the market will roll over. But they've increased their balance sheet by 60% since February, end of February. So they've now got 6.6 trillion. I messed up on this. If you count to a trillion in seconds, it'll take you 31,000 years. Just 1 trillion.
Oh, I thought you said it was 31 years.
Yeah, I messed up. Look, it's 31,000 years to count to a trillion in seconds. So you'd never do it in your lifetime. Yeah, I checked it out. Someone corrected me on Twitter, and I looked it up. It's true. So 31,000 years to count. You would never... Obviously, you'd obviously die before then.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Steve, I think I can do it.
If I do it quicker, yeah. How's your thing, Steve? I talked about your Ringer Roast, promotion.
What is that, Steve? Ringer Roast?
Oh, it's my dad's friend's company, but we always use them for like catering for like if we're getting food in. The food's amazing.
Is it for older people, Steve?
Mm. Well, they're smaller part of it. Obviously, they do like roast dinners on a Sunday. Well, in fact, all week long, really, you can have a dinner delivered. But so that's part of their business. But
it's funny,
they
Steve.
Do very nice food.
I know, it's funny, you're into tech, right? And you do discos, and then part of you is an OAP. You know, from the legs down.
I get it now. He's promoting his dad's friend's business. Yeah.
I don't promote someone's just because they're a friend or whatever family. But
so you are.
But I'm doing it because obviously. But at the same time, like I'm doing it because the food's amazing. Like I wouldn't recommend something.
Have they thought their name through Ringer Roast?
Yeah, Ringer Roast.
They've had the business for about 25 years, so it's obviously doing well.
It sounds quite sexual, Ringer Roast, doesn't it?
I hadn't thought about it that way. Okay.
What are potatoes like, Steve? It's hard to make a roast potato and keep it crispy in delivery, I would have thought.
Yeah, no, they're really nice. Mind you. Good.
What are the carrots like, Steve?
I can't remember now. You're asking me questions. It's been a while since I've had their actual roasts. Their food in general is nice.
What about the gravy?
Well, that's not a suggestion I got from Facebook, Steve. It looked like you just had it.
To be fair, the Facebook post I posted, I wasn't actually promoting their roast dinners. It was their general food, if you look carefully.
If you look carefully. I didn't look that carefully. I just saw Steve, like Meals on Wheels. Oh, lovely. Meals on Wheels. Get my ring of roast coming round today. Lovely. Lovely,
that's
man.
That's like Justin, like grabbing one little bit and making a massive deal of it. Yeah, rather than eating the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, how did your disco do last night, Steve? Is all right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it last week.
Last week?
Yeah. Last night.
Ask you drunk a bottle of rum, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I only drank half a bottle of rum, but no, I thought the music choice was spot on.
I thought it was really good, yeah. I enjoyed it. Well, and I saw quite a few tweets and things of people commenting about it, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, if you drink a bottle of rum doing anything, you'll quite enjoy it, I think.
I woke up this morning. In fact, I was halfway through the podcast. I put my slippers on, and there was a bit of pizza inside my slipper for some reason.
That's a good night.
That's a sign of a good night. Yeah.
Not sure how that got there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, Steve.
Right.
Well, my lads.
Yeah.
Paddy, are you doing that thing? Paddy shared a tweet to this guy. I'm turning in America, in Florida, and he's dressed as a Grim Reaper, and he's walking around the beaches because they've opened the beaches now. And he's dressed, and they interviewed him on telly. He's an attorney at law, and he's dressed as a Grim Reaper. And I think
it's not going to go down well, is it?
No, but it's also, if you were a client of his and you saw him doing that, would you just think, I'm going to take my business elsewhere, I think. Because he doesn't, it's not of sound mind, that, as an attorney. I mean,
also, he must have had that costume just lying around, which is slightly weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. A bit weird.
Pete has weird costumes hanging around, though, as well, doesn't he, Pete?
I have one or two, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, but like a clown and stuff. It's there if I need it.
Yeah, we should do that. But I think that's good in Croydon, Pad. Yeah, definitely got it. Because that would suit you, because you know, that would. That kind of way inclined, didn't you? You are, but you do panic a bit sometimes.
Panic?
Well, no, you seem calm, your voice, but your tweets sometimes are like, I know your tweets, your texts, you seem like, oh my God, it's the end of the world, when it's just basically Boris Johnson doing a gag or something, you know what I mean?
That's not true.
You're highly political. You're politically charged. Politically charged, I'd say.
All right.
Yeah. I just wouldn't mind a bit of leadership right now, that's all.
Okay. Well,
on this podcast.
You want just Steve, lad? Just follow Steve. Just follow Steve. He'll give you leadership.
I'll
show
you some leadership, mate.
Ring a roast, quarantine, ring a roast.
Just find a bit of pizza in your slipper, Steve. I'm going to pass.
Don't worry about that. It's the small details. Don't worry about
that. What flavour was it, Steve?
Pepperoni. There was no pepperoni, obviously.
So when did you last have pizza as well?
Oh, I had it last night before I
went. Oh, okay.
Was it a wedge? Just
it's a bit of crust, basically.
Oh, just a bit of crust. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. If it was a full wedge in in your slipper, then that would be odd. I'll save that for later. Pizza in my slipper. Keep it nice and warm.
It's not the worst thing I've done drunk going to bed.
Yeah, that'll keep me warm until Ring of Roast comes around tomorrow. Right.
And they zip up tartan booty slippers as well.
No, they're UGG slippers.
Oh,
okay. Okay, listen, I think we've come to the end of this investing podcast. Slowly ground to a halt. Have a nice weekend, guys. We still need a new logo. We need a new logo. I guess, I wonder what they're going to come out with. It's not going to be stay at home, of course. It's going to be something, isn't it? But a logo for, social distance, guys. Be unsociable is the thing. Be unsociable. Wash your hands, save the NHS. I think that's the cracker.
Just a picture of you.
Yeah. Lovely. Have a nice weekend, boys. Stay home. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.